Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Yes, the tomb is empty. Christ is risen, as he said. C.S. Lewis writes, something perfectly new in the history of the universe had happened. Christ had defeated death. What an assurance that he is living, conquering death, as he said. Therefore, trust in him, brothers and sisters.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he completed God's work of salvation and demonstrated to all that he is the Christ, the anointed one of God who is alive forevermore. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Matthew with a lesson about the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he begins part two of his message, He Has Risen.
Matthew's gospel reaches its triumphant climax with the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. We saw last time that the death of Jesus without his resurrection reduces him to just another man, perhaps a great man, a prophet, a miracle worker, a teacher, but still a man. But Christ is risen. Our Lord Jesus Christ physically and bodily rose from the dead. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I'm the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Surely you want to know the one who has ultimate authority over life and death. Let's consider now more of the implications of what it means that Jesus is risen from the dead. Let me read with you Matthew 28. We're going to read the first 15 verses, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 15. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. He has risen as he said. Christ has risen as he said. Now, I want us, first of all, to understand the basic point that we see throughout the gospel and is reinforced here, that the resurrection assures us that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And the resurrection assures us that Jesus is no ordinary man. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. So when you're speaking to your friends who don't believe, and they try and tell you you're bigoted because you're saying Jesus is the only way, ask them this question: who else has come from heaven to earth, died for our sins, was bodily raised from the dead, and has returned to heaven? No other person than our Lord Jesus Christ. So it assures us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, and this is important, The resurrection assures us that Jesus can be trusted. The resurrection assures us that Jesus can be trusted. You say, why do you say that? Because several times Jesus predicted not only his death, but predicted his resurrection. Christ is risen. He rose from the dead, as he said. Now that means and reemphasizes and underlines this important truth in the Christian faith, that God can always be trusted. And he demonstrated that he can be trusted by raising his son from the dead on the third day. And so today, right now, I want you to do something. I want you to claim some of the promises of God. Most of us here would say that we're followers of Jesus Christ. That means you're living by faith. Is that true? The just shall live by faith. We have to faith in coming to Christ, but we are to live by faith. Our life is to be a life of faith, isn't it? Doesn't God promise that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Doesn't he say that? Why don't you trust him? You're worrying what's going to happen when you're old. You're worrying what's going to happen about when you go into that for that operation. You're worrying about this or that. You're worrying about the job interview. You're worried and you're fretting. He's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Claim that promise. Some of you face very, very difficult temptations. Perhaps a besetting sin that comes to you over and over again. I want you to claim this promise. The scripture promises that for every temptation, yes, every temptation, there's a way of escape. God is faithful. So when you fall into sin, don't blame God. God has provided a way of escape. You have chosen not to take it. Claim the promise. He promises that those who believe in him will have eternal life and they will never perish. What a wonderful promise that is, isn't it? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life and you'll never perish, and no one can snatch you out of his hand, that my Lord Jesus Christ has me in his hand and the Father has me in his hand, and says Jesus, I and the Father are one. What a promise. What about Psalm 27? The Lord is my light and my salvation, therefore I will not fear. You're afraid? Afraid of tomorrow? The Lord will be your light. You're afraid you're going to make the wrong decision about something? No need to fear. The Lord is your light. He's your salvation. Claim the promise. Stop worrying. Claim the promises of God. What are you anxious about? What's keeping you awake? What are you fretting about? What's your worst fears? What are they? In the middle of an earthquake, the old woman was asked, are you afraid? She says, no. I like this. I rejoice to know that I have a God who can shake the world. Are we afraid? Or do we believe that God is with us? That all things work together for good? On Friday, as I was thinking about this, I thought of Psalm 57, verse 2. Here it is. David, he's being chased by Saul. Now, David has been promised that he's going to be the king, anointed by Samuel, remember, in 1 Samuel 17? And yet, here is David with this wonderful promise that he's going to be the king, and he's being pursued by this evil man Saul over and over again, who's got this spear, and he wants to put it right through David. And David is hiding in a cave. And in verse 2, he says this of Psalm 57, I cry out to God Most High, to God, listen to this, who fulfills his purpose for me. I like that. God is working all things together for good to those who love him. Do we understand all that's happening in our lives, in our nation? No. Unexpected hurdles, difficulties, hardships, suffering, yes. But behind it all is Almighty God, who is so powerful, he can raise his son from the dead. So powerful that if you trust his son, he'll give you eternal life so that you will be forever with your Savior. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And you are wondering and you are worrying over that situation in your little life. You're wondering what's going to happen to your business. You're wondering what's going to happen to your health, to your family, to your career. Isn't that Paul's magnificent argument in Romans 8? He says that he who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? What a wonderful argument. Paul is saying, listen, God in a sense has done the difficult thing. He delivered his son for your salvation. He sent his son into this world to bear your sin. Do not think then he can deal with everything else. How much more, think of his argument, from the greater to the lesser, how much more will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God will give you and me all of the grace, all of the strength, all of the help you need to live for him one day at a time. And you're to trust him. To think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the living God, asks you to trust him. You have crisis of faith. You wonder. You cry, why? You read the Psalms of lament. Why, oh God, has this happened? You can trust God. The resurrection assures us that God can be trusted. Finally, the resurrection assures us of God's power in our lives. See, this is the gospel. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to give you supernatural salvation and transformation. That's power. Yes, you. You place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this living Christ who's alive forevermore. He will save you. He will forgive your sins, and he will transform your life. Think of the power that raised Jesus from the dead, from that cold tomb of death. Victorious over the forces of darkness and evil. These women, as we read, are totally overwhelmed at the events. Matthew says in verse 8 that they had fear and great joy. You think these are the opposite? No. They had in awe of God, we would say. They realized this was awesome. And they were filled with great joy that this one they loved was not still in the tomb, but was alive forevermore. You see, trusting the living Christ transforms all of life. And it gives us an eternal perspective, doesn't it? What a wonderful way to live. And because Jesus Christ was dead and is alive, alive forevermore, he can share this life, this eternal life, this supernatural life with his followers. So a true follower of Jesus has had a personal encounter with Jesus. We are to believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, not just intellectually saying, I believe. This is, Calvin said, it is to embrace Christ. Beautiful picture that Christ comes and embraces us, as it were, and we embrace him. And when we are truly saved, the New Testament teaches us that we are now then, listen to this, united with Christ. I am in Christ and he is in me. I am united with Christ. Listen to Paul as he expounds this wonderful truth that you need to grasp, which will truly revolutionize your life in Colossians 3. Colossians 3 verse 1, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, it's the if of argument, not the if of doubt. We could say, since you have been raised with Christ. Have you? You've been raised with Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes, that we die with Christ, we're buried with Christ, we've been raised with Christ into this new life. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Paul says that Christ is your life. Is that true of you? You say, well, my family is my life. My wife's my life. My business is my life. My hobby's my life. For the Christian, no. First and foremost, our priority is Christ. Christ is our life. We seek first the kingdom of God. And now, in the beauty of the gospel, I am in Christ. Think of that unbreakable union. Do you believe that? That's huge, isn't it? To go through life knowing that I am in Christ, and this new life and power from the resurrected Christ transforms us. We call this our sanctification, the process whereby we become more and more like Jesus. Did you notice, as I read, how Jesus refers to the disciples, these men who had deserted him? Verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." We would have said, go tell these deserters. Go tell these chickens. He says, go tell my brothers. Here is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we who believe in him are now part of the family of God, that we are sons and daughters of God. And these fearful disciples are going to be transformed into the boldest of evangelists and missionaries in the first century. What was the transformation? They'd seen the resurrected Christ. And for about 40 days, they had been taught by the resurrected Christ. Between his resurrection and his ascension, they were with him. And then in Acts 2, the Spirit comes down and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the living Spirit of Jesus. And now they're prepared to suffer and die. Why? Because they have seen the resurrected Christ. He'd said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He conquered death. And therefore, let me say to you, he is well worth following. I followed Jesus for many years. I was thinking back to my university days at Edinburgh. I was there just a few weeks ago. And I thought of all of the debates, all of the discussions we'd had in those days with my friends, these pseudo-intellectual discussions about Marx and Lenin and Herbert Marcuse and all of that. We were going to transform the world, they thought, through socialism or Marxism or communism. And I thought, I wonder how many of them are following Marx or Lenin or Marcuse today, whose theories and philosophies have largely been discredited. What a waste of a life, isn't it? To follow someone who's going to a dead end. No, we follow a living Christ, a one who saves us, a one who transforms us. And one then who sends us to tell others about him. The woman in verse 8 ran to tell the disciples. We'll see in a couple of weeks in verse 19 that the disciples are commanded to go and to preach the gospel to all the nations. This news is so wonderful that it cannot be kept to ourselves. The whole world needs to know that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, and that his love embraces the whole world. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That is, when God calls you to do something, he will give you all of the strength, all of the wisdom you need as you depend on him, as you live by faith. This resurrection of Jesus assures us that he's always with us in life and in death. He is our hope in life and in death. Yes, the tomb is empty. Christ is risen, as he said. C.S. Lewis writes, "Something perfectly new in the history of the universe had happened. Christ had defeated death. The door, which had always been locked, had for the first time been forced open." Think of that mighty battle. Think of that mighty victory accomplished by our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive. What an assurance that he is living, conquering death, as he said. That means that the grave and the death for us need not be dreaded. Not only has our Lord Jesus Christ gone into death, he's conquered it. John Flavel, writing in the 17th century, writes, "Death is a dragon, the grave its den, a place of dread and terror, but Christ goes into its den, there grapples with it, and forever overcomes it, disarms all its terror." Well said. Our Lord Jesus Christ has disarmed it. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? That's why when one of our loved ones dies, we grieve, we miss them terribly. But when their trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice that death has been conquered and that our loved ones will not stay in that grave, but to live is Christ, to die is gain. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the tomb, his body did not experience corruption, as we read. He's the first fruit of those who rise from the dead. Death could not hold our Savior. Nothing can stop our Savior. And so I ask you, take all of your fears, all of your anxieties, and bring them to the Lord, and to trust him with all of your heart. He has risen, as he said. Therefore, believe in him. Therefore, trust in him, brothers and sisters. Serve him with all of your heart. He's worthy of your best. And love and praise him. And even when the hardships and difficulties come into your life, know that this great God is writing your story and that his purposes for your life and mine will be accomplished in his perfect will. And I'm to trust him, and you're to love him, and you're to serve him. Eternal God, we thank you that you're alive forevermore. We're frail mortals. Our faith sometimes is very weak, and we doubt you and we question you. We thank you for your graciousness. We think of our Savior calling the disciples my brothers. We ask now that those who don't know this Christ personally, that your Spirit will reveal their sin to them, and also will reveal the wonder of Christ dying for sins, being buried and being raised again. May hearts be open to receive the Savior. We look forward when he shall come, and we shall be perfectly like him. Meantime, Father, help us to tell others this wonderful good news that Christ is risen, as he said, and we ask it in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, He Has Risen. Now, as a free gift to our listeners, we'd like to send you a helpful companion resource that gets to the heart of Christian living. It's a useful booklet by John called Life in the Kingdom, and it deals with what it means to follow Christ, as taught by Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus speaks to his followers about how to live their lives each day. And right now, you can request a free copy of Life in the Kingdom by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And if these lessons and resources have helped you, would you consider helping us reach other listeners by supporting The Verdict with a donation of any amount? By helping us cover the cost to produce and distribute these biblical messages, you'll ensure that we can continue sharing the gospel with new listeners across the globe. To send your one-time donation of any amount today, just go to theverdict.org. And then if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available on your podcast app. While you're there, feel free to leave us a comment and a 5-star review, like this listener who wrote, "So much more than using verses out of context for inspirational purposes, this podcast will challenge you in your daily walk with Christ by clearly explaining the gospel and what it means to be an authentic Christian." We so appreciate hearing from our listeners, and your positive reviews help other listeners find these biblical programs. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to close out today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? I trust you believe that the tomb is empty and that Christ is risen and is alive forevermore. This is not speculation, but this is the very real and preordained plan of God for your salvation. Yes, Jesus can be trusted. So claim his promises, believe in him, he'll never fail you. And in God's grace, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power which will cleanse your sins and give you eternal life. So trust the one who is the resurrection and the life.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.